God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. At the church camp, quite a number of them got water baptized. Three of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Amen. So Paul went there to collect offerings to help the Jerusalem church. He encouraged them to excel in the gracious act of giving, because God's grace given them to give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We can bring our tithes as worship unto you, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you for blessing all the remaining that we have. The seeds that we bring, the offering that we bring, that we sow, you shall multiply back to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone say, amen. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the reason why we pray. End of June coming, and beginning of July is here. We started our church first service on July the 6th. Amen. So before I went to Rhema Bible College, I read all Brother Hagin's books and listened to most of his teachings on CDs, those days on CDs. When the time came for us to go, I had one question in my spirit. I wonder how Brother Hagin or Kenneth Hagin prays at Rhema. And 4 months into the Bible College during the first Christmas break in December, we went there in August. The Lord put in my spirit to pray to know what am I supposed to do after graduating from Rhema Bible College. So I spent 3 days fasting and praying. And the first day I started praying, I saw this picture of the praying hands. Can you see the praying hand there? This picture always intrigued me. Yoing's mother used to work in a clinic in Orchard Road, and in the doctor's office had this cross stitch, and it was a cross stitch of this praying hand. And the scripture was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and answer thee, I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. The scripture has always been. And in fact, one of the lamps, preaching lamp, that's the scripture I used when I was in Rhema. So this picture has always stood out to me. But the first day I was fasting and praying this, the picture that came to me. I always loved this picture of the praying hands. So on the first day of fasting and prayer, the Lord told me to come back to start a praying church. The word of faith and prayer is the mainstay of my ministry and the ministry of this church. So this church, we call a praying church. Amen. So we started our first service on 6 July 1997. And a couple of times, the Lord will lead me to teach prayer during the end of June and into the beginning of July. He wants to remind us that prayer is the mainstay of this church. So presently, the main focus of our prayer is on the next move of the Holy Spirit, next move after the Grace Revolution. In the last two sermons, the one on God's hope is the anchor of our soul, and faith is our assurance and evidence of our hope. We look at how to get God kind of hope when the situation looks hopeless. We studied where there is no hope and how we can get the hope of God. When we get it from the Word, since it's from the Word, faith also comes. Amen. Faith also comes. We use the example of in China, many graduates. I watched some of the videos. It's really bad, in China. A lot of them are out of job. One video of when Foxconn moved out, the whole town just emptied. They employed 300,000 people. When they moved out, left 60,000. The whole town, all empty. That means the shops, a lot of those side business, small business are all closed up. And many of them had to work as food delivery to earn more money. These are university grads. So to them, the future seems bleak. But we studied, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that God has a plan to give you a hope and a future. When there's no hope, you find hope in God. You find the hope of God. You get your hope from God. And if God has a plan, there's always hope. Doesn't matter how hopeless it seems, amen, there's still hope, right? So, from the plan of God, He gives us a hope in the future. And from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, once this scripture comes into our spirit, faith comes, amen. When faith comes, so we have to have hope, right? With hope, our faith will be effective. But faith is assurance and trust and confidence of what we hope for in the future. We hope our faith will be effective. So we must have hope. Else, if you have faith, your faith will be useless. If you have hope, you don't have faith, your hope will not become a reality. It's just wishful thinking. So we have to have hope in God, then we must have faith from God. Now that we have hope and we have faith, what are we going to do next? The next thing is to seek Him and to pray. Right? The song, Seek. Amen. We are to pray with unknown tongues. You need to pray in unknown tongues because the future is unknown, unseen. But God can see the end from the very beginning. In eon time, He can see the end. And during your time, the beginning of your life, He sees everything concerning your life. Amen. So God is the one who sees. Amen. But we do not see. We are walking into the future, unknown, unseen. But God sees everything along the way. Amen. So how do you pray? The only way to pray is to pray with unknown tongues. I don't pray in unknown tongues. Then you're not praying to the future. We pray with understanding. That means you only pray with what you can see, what you know now, what you predict into the future. You don't know the future. You don't even know tomorrow. You don't even know the hour after this. You don't even know the second after this. Amen. You don't know what's happening in the realm of the spirit. How are you going to pray? You cannot pray. If you pray with understanding, you cannot pray what you can see, what you hear, what other people tells you. Right on. And you cannot pray beyond what you know now. Amen. So there's no other way. And you'll be a disadvantage if you have children. You cannot pray into their future. Right? You only say, oh God. You only can go, oh God, show me their future. That's all. And many times praying for the unknown, that kind of prayer doesn't work. Right? Then God's mercy on you, then God will have other people pray for you. But you cannot rely on other people's prayer forever. Right? Especially in this church. Because you are given the opportunity to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are responsible for the opportunity. Amen. You're responsible for what you know. You're responsible for the opportunity presented to you. Amen. So we are to pray with unknown tongues to seek the Heavenly Father to reveal His plan for us. Since the Heavenly Father has a plan, why doesn't He reveal His plan to us? Why must we pray? Can He not just reveal His plan and what He wants to do in our lives and through His church without prayer? If that's the case, then it's easy. Then there's no need to pray. Correct? And prayer should not be in the subject at all. Should not be in the Bible at all. Amen? Every religion prays. Why should they pray? Even in Christianity, also we need to pray. I mean, since God knows all things, why don't you just tell us, just do it. Just do it, man. Right? Then life will be easy. We'll never miss God, you know. Because you don't have to pray. You don't have to follow the leading Holy Spirit. His angels just take your hands and lead you. Here you go. Here you go. There you go. Right? Then you will never miss God. All of us will be blessed beyond our imagination. Amen. Once John Wesley, the founder of Wesley Methodist Church in England, he said this, "It seems like God can do nothing for mankind unless somebody asks Him." In fact, there's the other part of the statement, second half of the statement. He said, John Wesley said, you know, "It seems like God can do nothing for mankind unless somebody asks Him. Why? I don't know." He said he doesn't know. But I tell you why. So, we are to pray. Amen. We are to pray. Then, from His plan, He reveals His another phase. First phase, first time you pray, a phase of your life for you to walk into your future, into your destiny. If not, you just wander. You just wander into the future. There's always hope. Right now. But we need to pray. Amen. Praying is just the first step. Seek Him to pray is only one step. After that, if He sees the future, means, you know, along the way when you stray off course, He also has a plan to bring you back, provided you seek Him. Amen? So there's always hope. There's always hope in God, from God, and it's never hopeless. Amen? So, why do we need to pray? When we have to start with, the kingdom of the earth is not in God's hand. Sometimes I hear songs, I cannot take it. God is in control. Very simple. Sometimes, you know, the unbelievers have got more sense. One time, an unbeliever in the U.S., he said, if God's in control, He's making a mess in the world. I mean, it's very simple. If your mother is in control of your home, so stringent or so strict, you'll never mess up the room, even your room. Correct or not? Can you imagine God is in control and He's making a mess? Sometimes unbelievers, they use their common sense. They are more sensible than a lot of religious cliches that have been passed down through the years. Amen. If God is in control of this earth, nothing is in a mess today. Right? Then, you know, religious say, oh man, God is trying to be, so he allowed this thing to happen. He allowed, you know, he caused this to happen. He caused that. He allowed it to happen because he couldn't do anything about it. Amen. So we have to pray because God is not in control of the earth. He is only if we give him control over our lives and all we are involved in. Right? After we become a Christian or believers, we cede control into God's hand. Then he has control over our lives and what we are involved in. Amen. Many a times, even when we get God's plan, we stray off, we just take control, and then we just take control and do whatever we want, then we go off track, and then, you know, we got into a mess, then he brought us back. Unless we give him control over our lives and all we are involved in, else he is not in control. You know why? Because he created us with a free will to make choices. He created us to be like him. Even Jesus had a choice not to go to the cross. Because we are all not robots, you know, he used AI to control us. No, he created us with a free will. You make choices. Judas Iscariot was chosen to be the 12th apostle of the Lamb. He made a choice to betray Jesus, right? So Satan is the one who is ruling the earth through mankind, through humans on earth. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Because God is not in control, he hands the earth to us. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray and invite him to do what he desires to do in our lives and for the nation. Right? Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Then the devil taking Jesus up on a high mountain. Now, Jesus didn't go up on a physical mountain. If that's the case, then Jesus was led by Satan up to the mountain. This is a spiritual vision. He led him on a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How do you see all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time? Cannot. Only way is in the realm of the spirit, Satan showed him. And this word kingdom means the authority to rule over the natural kingdom on the earth. So there's a double kingdom. The one kingdom that's in the realm of the spirit, there's a natural kingdom that's on the earth, that's ruled by either emperors in those days, kings in those olden days, but presidents and prime ministers in these days, and emperors and kings becomes a figurehead right now, these days. So there's a double kingdom. Amen. He said he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, the natural kingdom of the world, but he showed him the realm of the spirit. That's where he controls. He controls all the kingdoms of the world. The reason why we pray for the government is to push back forces, the power of Satan from influencing the natural government that governs the natural country. You know why Russia is not winning the war? Even Singapore pastors has gone to Ukraine to hold conferences there. They have conferences there in Ukraine. While there's war, there's conferences, there are praying going on. Whereas Russia has blocked the gospel from going in. So the devil, in the realm of the spirit, brought him to a high place, a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms in the moment of time of the world. And the devil said to him, all this authority, their kingdom means authority to rule the natural kingdom. All this authority, I will give it to you. If it's not in his hand, how could he give it to Jesus? It was in his hand. It's still in his hand. And their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And Jesus never disputed. Who gave the authority, spiritual authority, to rule over the natural kingdoms? Adam and Eve. Because they were the ones who had dominion over the earth, the heaven and the earth, right? He sinned against God, he handed to Satan. So all this authority to rule over all the kingdoms of the earth is in Satan's hand. He has the authority, just like, you know, the developer developed this mansion and the mansion was handed to me with the title deed. It belongs to me. Right now. If it is 99 years lease, then the 99 years lease, I have the authority. The developer doesn't have. The government doesn't have the authority to take back the land because I have it for 99 years. So in these 99 years, I can let anybody do whatever that person wants in my mansion. See not? So the earth is like that. God created the earth, handed Adam and Eve to his descendants, to the sons of man, the children of man. But he sinned against God, deceived by Satan, and Satan had control, had dominion over the earth. But the earth still belongs to Adam and his descendants, to the children of men. But they don't have the power to take dominion. Satan had the power to control the earth. Why Adam and Eve had no power? Because he sinned against God. He lost the power. He lost the power to take dominion over the earth. And Satan took dominion. Now, after Jesus died and rose again, now within my sphere of influence, my domain of influence, I have the authority. I have the authority in my natural, my mansion. I have also spiritual authority because I'm in Christ. I have the power of God to take authority. That's why unbelievers don't have the authority, the power of God to take authority to deal with demons and evil spirits. We have. But a lot of Christians doesn't know. They don't know how to use the authority. See that? So that means, imagine this is my mansion. Naturally, I take control. So the government has control over this nation naturally. But the government doesn't have control over the spiritual realm, actually was influencing them. See, you know? So I have authority over my natural mansion. I don't allow thieves to come in. I don't invite the wrong people into my mansion. But there's a realm of the spirit, the spiritual realm is trying to mess my home. I have authority because I'm in Christ Jesus. I have the power in the name of Jesus to take authority over demonic spirits. Amen. That's why whenever I move into a new place, you better move into where I move in. Because I will take authority over the whole vicinity, not just my home. There is a realm of the spirit that I have authority over. How far, I don't know. But it's beyond my home. See, in the past, a lot of Christians, they have prayed, oh, in the name of Jesus, holding my home, my four walls, my windows and doors. No, I take beyond that. So, for example, if I stay in a condo, I don't know how far, I just take authority. I just move in, I say, in the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit, I bind you, you stop every operation and maneuver. Amen? So, when I move into a certain place, I'll take authority. Hotel room is the same. I remember, you know, my business trip on Baltimore. My goodness, I went there, I stayed in a room in the middle of the night. Oh, my Lord, you know, man, demons was around. But because, you know, you just went in the room, you didn't take, after you realize the demon, then you take authority, right? Another time, we were in the States, then we just got a business visa, 5 years business visa, and you have to leave the country to enter in so that the visa changed from tourist visa to business visa, so we have to leave. So I told my boss, no, I want to go back to Singapore. 10 days, okay, came back. The moment we went back to US, we went back to the apartment there. Every night I was choked. In the morning I woke up, I was choked. 7 nights in a row. Then on the 7th morning I woke up, I said, oh, man, demons. We leave the house empty, only demons go in the house. On the 7th night, I rebuked it. After that, it was okay. You know, we just left that apartment for 10 days, came back, you know, went back home, what, 7 nights. I had 2 experiences like that. One time, after we came back from the US, we haven't got a place yet, right? I haven't got our own place, you know, so I was staying in my mother's place 7 nights in a row. She was screaming, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. She was screaming until my hair stands, you know. She was screaming, so eerie. First night, she screamed, I woke up. Second night, screamed, I woke up. Third night, Holy Spirit woke me up before she screamed. A moment I woke up, she would scream. And I rebuked it. On the 7th night, you know what happened? Came and sat on me. I couldn't open my mouth. And I couldn't rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It sat on me. You know? She screamed and then it sat on me. So, but I always remember this Pentecostal scripture. They love this scripture. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So greater is he that's in me. You know, you begin to scream right now. This is what the devil will always do. Always get your mind to think of him. He's in the house, right? He's in the house. Of course, there's fear. Right? So he tried to scare you. He tried to get your attention. So my mind goes to, oh, the demons is in the house, in my room. Oh, the demons in my house. He get attention. Then you know what I did? I remember the scripture that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I took my mind, because think on the inside, the Holy Spirit that's greater that's in me than you that's in the world. The moment I put my mind on the inside, I have peace. But once the mind is captivated by his presence, there's fear. Do you know? That's why don't think, don't talk. The devil's talk. Fear, you yield to fear. You have control over your own life. Amen. I'm telling you, pastor asked me, say, pastor, how? I've been bombarded by the spirit of death. I said, ignore it. La. He said, I rebuke it, rebuke it, rebuke it. He's still coming back. I said, one time Paul said, Lord, the messenger of Satan keep buffering me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Why didn't Paul rebuke the messenger of Satan? Right? Because there are times that if they keep using people against you, you can rebuke. If the person used the demons, the demons will still use that person to come against you. But this pastor said, no, it's the spirit of death keep bombarding me. I say, don't bother. Don't bother to rebuke. There are actually three reasons why the devil cannot kill you. One, you are translated or transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He has no authority over you. You have authority over demons and evil spirits. So they cannot kill you. They will tell you they want to kill you. The pastor say, the thoughts keep coming. The devil say, I want to kill you. Actually, if the devil keeps saying he want to kill you, you know why he keep telling you? Because he couldn't. he would have killed you. They might tell you, correct? I'll rob you. I say, hey, Ray, I'm coming to your house to rob you. No, I just come in the middle of the night, right? I won't tell you. You know why he couldn't kill you? That's why he keeps saying, I'm going to kill you, right? You know why he couldn't kill you? Because you are not in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of his light. He does not have authority over you, right? And you have authority over demons and evil spirits. Second reason why spirit of death, demons cannot kill you is because you decide how long you live. Psalm 91 verse 16 says, long life, he will satisfy you. That means you're not satisfied, you decide how long you live. The question is, sometimes you live until your body cannot go on living. Third reason, especially this is for preachers. Not only just for preachers, for y'all too. This is 17. Now let's go back to slide number 7 just now. If you were to fulfill God, walking in fulfilling God's plan, God will keep you alive to fulfill his plan. Now, especially preachers, if we don't stray off, we continue to fulfill, he will keep me alive to finish his plan. Correct or not? Make sense? Three reasons why the devil cannot kill you. Amen? First and foremost, he doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over demons and evil spirits, including the spirit of death. Secondly, you decide how long you live or how long, when you want to die. Thirdly, if you're God's plan, God will make sure, it's his plan, he'll make sure he keep you alive to fulfill his plan. Man. Correct or not? I mean, he wrote the plan for your life and you don't want to die. So guess who is going to keep you alive? Heavenly Father is going to keep you alive so that you fulfill his plan. Even you stray off, he'll bring you back to fulfill his plan. Hallelujah. That's why I'll live long. Amen. I'll live until I finish, fulfill his plan, complete his plan. Amen. All this authority I'll give to you. So it was in his hand, Adam gave it. That's the reason why he has authority to rule over the earth, influence the government and people's lives. And God could do nothing about it unless we ask him. We pray. To pray means to ask God, to invoke God on our behalf, to do what he desires to do for us. And if you need help, you ask, you pray for him to help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody told me, actually many years back, he thought he would die at the end of the year. Today, he's still alive. After many years. You know why? The devil cannot kill him. Why not? He cannot kill you. But people who commit suicide, their mind gets taken over. They are so not here, other places. Nobody knows what to do. He keeps yielding to those thoughts. Else, demons and evil spirits cannot kill you. If they could, they won't tell you. I'm going to kill you. Thank you, Jesus. And there's another scripture that says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, but there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back again. Those who belong to those who are dead in Christ. Actually, those who are dead in Christ are with Christ. We are absent in the body, is present with the Lord. Now, this whole context talks about the body will be raised. Amen. When Jesus comes again, those who died in Christ, their new body will be raised. Amen. Then verse 24, after that, the end will come. Then when Jesus comes, those who died before Jesus comes, the body will be raised. Then the end will come. This end refers to after the tribulation. And when he will return, he will turn the kingdom. Now this word kingdom is exactly the word kingdom, Greek word in Luke, just now we read, I will give you the kingdom of all the earth. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. Amen. It's the authority to rule over the natural kingdom, the authority to rule in the spiritual kingdom, that influence the natural kingdom. He said, when the end will come, Jesus will turn the kingdom over to God the Father. That means it's not in God's hand. You see that? That means the authority to rule the spiritual realm, rule the natural realm, is not in God's hand. That means there's a natural kingdom on this earth. There's a spiritual kingdom in the first heaven. All they are not in God's hand. After Jesus comes, when the end comes, then it's handed back to God the Father. Then he is in control. In the meantime, Jesus also not in control because he's back in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. So he handed his authority to us. We are to take control. Amen. How do you take control? First, you must control the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You must control by taking authority using the name of Jesus, right? So after that, the world will enter into 7 years of tribulation. In the end of the 7 years, Jesus will turn the kingdom over to God, the Father. So the authority to rule over the kingdoms of the earth is in Jesus' hands, but he's at the right hand of the Father. He left, so he has no control. That's why he gave his authority to us. We have to take control. We have to bind and disallow the demons and evil spirits from operating within our domain of influence. Our domain of influence, including your company, the department you're working in. You may not be the boss. You don't have natural authority, but you have spiritual authority. You don't want to tell your boss, I have authority. I tell you what to do. You get fired. Don't blame me. Right or not? But if you are the manager or you're the director, then you have natural control, authority, and you also have spiritual authority if you understand what I'm teaching. Amen? And you must learn to discern in the workplace, in the school, and there are things that's happening, is unusual, take authority against demonic spirits. Amen? Especially if you're going to move to a new country, your mother is not going to be there, neither am I going to be there. Right? But demons are everywhere. Amen? So the authority to rule over the kingdoms of the earth is in Jesus' hand because he is the Son of Man. That's why Jesus has to be born as a Son of Man. Then he has a right. He has the authority over the earth wherever he is. Amen. But now he's gone back to heaven. A lot of people don't understand why Jesus has to be born as a Son of Man. He has to be born as a Son of Man just like any one of us. He laid down all his power and authority and all his knowingness, all the nature, the deity as God, he had laid down and to be born like a child, like born anywhere. Then the earth also belongs to Jesus. Then he can take back the authority of the earth, right? So when he died and rose again, he overcame the devil. Actually, the earth also belongs to Jesus. Jesus has authority, but he's not here. He has gone back to heaven. That's why his authority is handed to the body of Christ. We have authority. Amen. This explains why he said when the time comes, Jesus will be the one who hand the kingdom over to God the Father at the end. It's still in Jesus' hand until the end. Amen. But Jesus is not on earth. He could not take authority over demons and evil spirits. They're messing up with people's lives. Amen. It's very simple. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, stop it, demons. And he keep bombarding you. Death keep bombarding you. Say, right, just walk. Amen. Thank you, Father. I've told this story before. Michelle was in secondary two in the class. Class break, some students in the corner start playing with the Ouija board, the spirit of the dish. Oh, they invoked demonic spirits. And they couldn't let go. She was sitting in the corner, polishing in the name of Jah, I rebuke you, command you, leave. Palm did. Before I became a Christian, one of my friends got us to play before, but the evil spirit didn't come. He said, you know, when he comes, you move the dish, you know, and you ask questions, you know, he'll answer you. You know, don't play with that, okay? Don't play with all these type of things. Amen. She was sitting in the corner quietly, just rebuked the spirit. Then her friend was released from it. So the kingdom of this earth, the authority to rule over the earth, actually is in Jesus' hand. Amen. And it's influenced by a spiritual kingdom. It's either we pray that God influence the government or demonic spirits influence, right? And if they go to war, if they go to war with a country where there are a lot of Christians that were praying, I mean, you're in bad shape. Amen. So when we pray, we're asking God and giving him the authority to do what he desires in our domain of influence. My domain of influence, your home is not my domain of influence. But if you invite me to come to your home to pray, then you're handing authority over to me. Else I cannot come and mess with your home. You see now? In the past, pastors don't understand. You got to wear this color. That's rubbish. Right? Are you going to marry this one? Who says so? You decide. I will tell you what God is saying. But you have to decide, I have no authority. I have authority over the church, but not over your life. I don't have authority unless you come to me to ask me to pray for you and seek counsel. Then I have the authority, not even to control. We all don't have authority to control your lives. But we have authority to speak into your life, to counsel you or to give you guidance, but it's up to you whether you accept it or not. Never allow any preacher, prophet, I care less what prophet they are, to control you. They will give you prophecy and tell you you got a 100-carat diamond, bring it to him. Especially a brand prophecy to tell you to give up any wealth to him, forget it. Absolutely always is wrong. Another prophecy to tell you to marry someone, absolutely is wrong. But he can say 100 times is wrong. Then don't marry somebody because somebody prophesied over you. You understand? What should you do? Can't see me. Praise God. Now, the next thing, why we pray, the next reason why we pray is the mysteries of life. God can see the future, we cannot. The future is a mystery. God's plan for us is also a mystery. He will not completely reveal His plan to us. And He will not completely reveal His plan to us. That means our future will always remain a mystery. There will be a mystery. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, the reason why we pray is, for he who speaks in a known tongue, there's no way to pray concerning the mysteries of life except praying with unknown tongues. Does not speak to God but to men. Speaking in tongues, this is the first kind of tongues, does not speak to men but to God. Amen. A lot of great people, they don't divide up. There are three kinds of tongues. So they misunderstood. They say, oh, tongues is not for everyone. You cannot speak in tongues in church. Who says so? I've been speaking in tongues every Sunday. Amen. Speaking in tongues is not speaking to man but to God. For no one understands him, no devil could understand, neither angels could understand your tongue. Only God could understand because the tongues comes from him. Because when praying in known tongues, we are praying in the Spirit, praying by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we speak to God the mysteries concerning our lives. Our life, your life, your children's lives. And the mysteries concerning this nation, the days ahead, amen, the years ahead. So we pray in known tongues because of the mysteries of life. Praying in the known tongues is praying by the power of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit and praying by the Holy Spirit. Effective prayer, I pray in the Spirit, pray by the Holy Spirit. That means He gives you the utterance to pray. He inspires you to pray. Amen. The Heavenly Father plans to give us a future and hope. We have to pray with unknown tongues to pray out a new phase in our lives. Unknown tongues speak to God and the devil does not understand. Another reason why we pray in unknown tongues is the schemes, strategies, deception of Satan we cannot see because we can't see him. We cannot see any demonic spirit, evil spirit, Satan. We cannot even see angels unless God allows us to see. If God allows us to see into this realm, it's the discerning of spirits in manifestation. Else, nobody could see. Amen. You may sense it. You may perceive. Amen. Why? Because of the scheme, strategy, and deception of Satan is unseen, unknown, cannot be seen. That's why we pray. Amen. Where does it say so? Let's look at the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of God. In the strength of His power. That means you must be strengthened in the Lord and be strengthened of His power. Strengthened in the Lord, not good enough. You must be strengthened in His power. Amen. So there's two ways to strengthen us. Amen. We're going to go into how to be strengthened in His power. Strengthened in the Lord is through the Word of God. Amen. Strengthened in His power is, let's go with verse 11. Clothe yourself with full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the armor refers to the Word of God. Amen. That's why we cannot go back from the Word of faith. We cannot reject the grace revolution. We must embrace both to move forward. Because Word of faith and grace revolution, all are based on the Word of God. The grace revolution is based on the Word of faith. The Word of faith is the foundation of grace revolution. Amen. The Word of Faith Foundation is the foundation for the Grace Revolution. You know why? Because the foundation of the Grace Revolution is the Word of Faith teaching. So clothe yourself with the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes. This word schemes also has other meaning, deception, strategies, or craftiness of the devil. put on the whole armor of God. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and be strengthened in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and be strengthened or strong in the power of His might. Then he said, put on the whole armor. Then all the way, verse 17, he teach you about armor of God. That's basically, you sum it up, is actually the word of God. Then he went on to verse 18, how to be strengthened in the power of God. Pray. Or verse 12, verse, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood. Now, he named four hierarchies of demonic powers. One, he said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the first kind. The lowest kind of demonic spirits is the rulers. They don't do any thinking. They take instruction from the higher level. Against the powers, the third level. Rulers is the fourth level. Powers is the third level. Against the world rulers of this darkness. This is the one that controls people's lives. The rulers of darkness. Now, rulers of darkness give instruction to the third level and fourth level to mess up people's lives, including Christians. And the third level, the world of rulers of darkness, if you're not in the light, you're easily ruled by the ruler of darkness. Amen? Three levels. The ruler of darkness will give instruction to the powers and the rulers to mess up, to control people's lives, including Christians. But there's a fourth level, the spiritual forces of evil in heavens. That one, we bind the fourth, third, and second level. We could not bind the first level. The first level is in second heaven where Jesus will deal. The moment we bind this on earth, Jesus will deal with the highest one in heaven. Not God's heaven, second heaven. So Paul wrote his final words to the churches in Ephesus. He admonished them to be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of the Lord. It is because of the devil's schemes, strategies, and deception that we don't see. That's why we need to pray in the known tongues. God will reveal to us, lead us what we should do because there are demonic forces ahead. Never forget, I always tell this Adrian story. When she was working in the audit, 4 years in the audit, and, you know, Jeremy, Bob at the time were still students. They all were students in NTU. We were having a prayer group with NTU. Suddenly, Adrian just turned up. I said, hey, how come you come tonight? Don't know. She just came to the prayer group. Before we start, I asked, okay, what do you want to pray? Adrian, what do you want me to pray for you? Nothing. The moment we start praying in unknown tongues, straight away, I sense, I didn't see it, there's demons blocking her path, her career path. Thank God, you know, she followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. She went to the prayer group. She just came. After that, she never come back again. She never come back to the prayer group. While these people are all struggling down there, you know, as students, she never come back. In the name of Jesus, command the devil to get out of their path. She changed job. Got in the bank, right? And that's where she met Eden. Amen. Can you imagine, I didn't start the Bible school. Then Enhui won't be here. Then Barry will be forever single. Yeah. He agreed. You think there's somebody else, and there's nobody else, okay? And Enhui, they try to matchmake her in China. Eh, this one don't like, that one don't like. Got money, no money. Rich, poor, also don't like. And the Lord spoke to her. Say, this one, you don't marry, you forever single. God spoke to her. All right, Lord, I'll grab him. Now, this is not a makeup story. It's true. You can ask Enhui, is it true? She also told me, say, this is your last chance. Want to get married. At first, she didn't want to get married for quite a number of years. Then later on, she changed her mind. She wanted to get married. Then the Lord spoke to her and said, this is your last chance, man. Very vivid. Testimony is the more powerful way of teaching, correct? Huh? I'll just teach from theory only. I don't teach theory. It works, okay? Never forget. She never came back. So spiritual, no? Yeah, true. Just came for just that day, that night. That Friday night. One only Friday night. Never come before. Never come back again. But she got a new job in a bank. You can work in an audit company forever, you know, become a partner one day. If not, then your career is stuck. You know, it's stuck because of demonic spirits. So how do we be strong in the power of the Lord? How do we be strong? Verse 18 tells us, praying always. Put on the armor, praying always. Praying always. It's not just pray one time. Praying always, in good times, bad times, when you're poor, rich, filthy rich, pray. Amen. This word pray always means when you're rich, you pray. Right? First, praying always. Two, all kinds of prayer. That means you must know there's more than one kind of prayer. And with supplication. Supplication is one kind of prayer, but it's specifically highlighted. And supplication, that means after you pray other kinds of prayer, you go into supplication. You pray whatever prayer you pray, prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, you go into supplication. Prayer, all kinds of prayer and supplication. That means not all with all supplication. No, all kinds, all prayer means all kinds of prayer and supplication. All kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It must be done in the Spirit. Amen. Praying always, praying all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's not in the Spirit, your prayer is not effective. Amen. Not only we have to pray, to be strong in the Lord is to pray and have the power of God been released through prayer. Amen. The armor of God is the word of God. Amen. But the power to be strong in His power is to release it through prayer. Not just one kind of prayer, all kinds of prayer. What prayer do you pray next? Led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ask her, you come tonight, that Friday night. What do you want us to pray? Nothing. Why are you here? Sometimes you are led. You don't even know why you are led. But He knows. He saw that demons were blocking her career path. She didn't know. But she just felt that night, just go to the NTU prayer group. It was so far away. Right? So far. But you know, that's it worth many years. Amen. Not only to pray always, that means always pray. Not only always pray, pray all kinds of prayer and with supplication. After you pray, you go into supplication. Supplication is pleading prayer. You plead with unknown tongues. The unknown tongue is one kind of prayer. Some men time you plead in the unknown tongues, you can pray. Not only that, you need to be watchful in prayer. To this end, watch. Why you need to watch? You need to watch spiritually, you need to watch naturally. Amen. Don't just be, I don't want to read the newspaper. I don't know what's going on. Amen. Why do you need to be watchful? Sometimes you pray, then you watch, then He'll show you. There are demons you need to deal with. Sometimes He pray, He'll show you. You need to go and call this person. You know, there's a job offer for you. There's a business venture. You know, you want to go into business, you better be sure it's God. Right? I always say, that doesn't mean you are good in marketing and sales. It means you are a good businessman. You understand? Doesn't mean, wow, you work in a bank, you know, all that means you're a good businessman. You may not have the grace to do so. You understand? You better don't fool around. How do you know? You pray till you know. You pray till there's a knowing. Yup. Amen? Some people just simply no grace to do business. No, I'm just talking, not theory. I've counseled people. When you don't have grace, you make stupid mistakes. And no sense, or no. I mean, common sense, you won't have made such mistakes. People squander a couple of $1,000s. Not big, not 60 or 6,000, 600,000. Right? Thank you, Jesus. So, you have to be watchful. That's what I'm saying. You watch, you pray. When you watch, you pray, the Lord will lead you. Amen or not? You watch, you pray, and you watch in the spirit, you watch in the natural, and the natural will always line up with the spiritual. When the Lord leads you to leave, you look at the natural, things are not good, you better leave because the company is going to go. So be watchful. You need to watch. Amen. You need to watch because you need to watch in the spirit. Because when you watch, you're praying, you're watching. You're watching, you sense that demonic spirit. You must take authority. You must command it to stop, command it to leave, to command it to get out of the way. Amen. And another thing about being strong in the Lord, perseverance comes in. We need to persevere. We need to persevere and pray and persevere till we see the results. If He has a plan to give you a hope, then you pray, persevere till you see the result of His plan. You don't give up. Amen? You stray off, you stray back. With perseverance and supplication. Pray with all kinds of prayer, with supplication, persevere with supplication. Oh man, very difficult. You go into supplication. Oh, monchunangishtiri omra atsunohe. You plead in unknown tongues in supplication. Amen? And not only that, you need to pray for all saints. Pray for each other. Pray supplication, pray for others because they cannot see the devil's scheme and need others to help them. We are to pray with all kinds of prayer and supplication for others so that they can be strong also because others may be going through a difficult time that you need to pray for them so that not only they pray themselves, you pray yourself to be strong, others need to pray for you and help you so that you know, there's another supplier, the supplier coming from others to continue to strengthen you in the Lord. Amen. These are the reasons why we pray. Another reason why we pray, Jesus commands us to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story, a parable, to show that they should always pray and never give up. He never said, always confess the grace of God. No. When you want to give up, you need to pray to receive that grace. The grace of God comes to us five ways. When you're going through the most difficult time, the grace of God will come through prayer. Always pray and never give up. Then he told the story of this widow woman. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. Verse 2, 3, Luke chapter 18. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemies. She was right and she was just pleading for justice. She was not wrong, you know. Verse 4, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, even when they can't judge. Verse 5, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Persistent prayer, that's where we can learn from this parable. Verse 6, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Okay, can you learn something who is unjust? Yes. God said, learn something from the unjust judge. He said, this judge, even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you two things we learn from this parable? One, God will surely answer your prayer, surely give it to you. He surely give answers to your prayer. That's one thing you learn from this. Why you always pray and never give up? There are two things you learn from this parable. One, God will always give it to you. God will always show you. He always answers your prayer. He always guides you, always leads you. He has a plan for you. To give justice to these chosen people who cried out to him day and night, will he keep putting them off? Will he not answer your prayer? Will he not help you? Will he not bring you back when you stray off? Will he not get you out of your situation? He always will. That's why you never give up, Jesus said. You always pray. You never say confess that you have the grace of God. We need the grace of God. But through prayer, we receive his grace. That's another dimension of his grace. When you go through the most difficult time in your life, you need another dimension of praise, and you cannot get from the Word. You need to get it through prayer. Amen. The easiest way is get it through the gift manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What manifestation you have, right? Man, you know the Word. Man, you're still going through the most difficult time. You sing in Titans, in the deep sea. What do you do? Amen. The Word won't help you. The only thing is to pray. In the first place, you shouldn't have gone to that boat, that submissible. God will surely give it to you. Amen. He will always reveal it to you. He will always help you. He will always give help to you. He will always give mercy. He will always give his grace. But the grace that comes not only just through the Word. Grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. But there's another aspect where grace comes through is through prayer. Always pray and never give up. Then verse 8. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. And when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth? Who have faith. The only reason why you pray you don't get answers is there's no faith. You sleep in the doubt and unbelief. But if you hang on there in faith, he always will give it to you, whatever you're asking him for. Amen. Only thing that when I come, will I find faith on earth. So there are 2 points we can learn from this parable. Always pray and never give up. The parable teaches us always to pray and never give up. And there are 2 things we can learn. Why we can always pray and never give up is one, he will always give it to us. 2, do you have faith? I have grace. You have no faith, you don't have grace, okay? Faith, access his grace. Grace is always there for everyone, for believers and unbelievers. Since Jesus died and rose again, his grace has been dispensed in this world. He said, it's finished. How you access his grace? By faith. It is by grace, through faith, that you are saved. It is by faith that it might be by grace. It might be of grace, right? Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 5. We access this grace by faith. By faith, we access this grace of salvation. So every grace besides salvation is accessed by faith. That's why we have faith, word of faith revival before the grace revolution. Grace revolution is founded on the word of faith. So what must you be rooted in? The word of faith teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So Jesus said, pray and do not give up, because the Heavenly Father will see that we get what we pray for. Of course, we cannot pray against the Word of God. Amen. Secondly, is there faith on the earth when we pray? Without faith, we will not have answers to our prayers. After we pray, we must not slip into doubt and unbelief. Jesus said, if we persist and do not give up, we will have our answers. So we have to have faith to begin our prayer and stay in faith as we wait for the answers. Persevere to wait for the answer. We wait with perseverance because the Heavenly Father will surely answer our prayers. Thank you, Father.